Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Right now, what we know is that our society essentially reinvents itself every 3 to 5 years. You know, what I've tried to do in FutureCast is say, look, if things continue along the path that we see now, this is what's most likely to happen. But understand that that trajectory could change at any moment. So you've always got to be aware. You've always got to stay alert. You have to remain informed, constantly changing your expectations. The mid-course projections that you see pilots make during the course of a flight, they make thousands of them during the course of just a 2-hour flight. It's the same way that we have to approach life.
That's George Barna talking about his latest book of research called FutureCast. He says the culture is changing quickly every 3 to 5 years. He often recommends that the church ought to change just as quickly with the culture. Is that good advice? Joining us to talk about this recent religious belief research published by George Barna, Dr. Mike Horton, professor of systematic theology and apologetics at Westminster Seminary in Escondido, California. He's co-host of the national radio talk show called The White Horse Inn, and he's author of several books, including The Gospel-Driven Life and Christless Christianity. Mike, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be with you again.
I've said for years about George Barna that I think he's a fine researcher in terms of just gathering the data. He probably is on the forefront there, but I generally choose to ignore his conclusions. Is that a good approach to Barna's latest research, what he's found out and published in his latest book?
Yeah, that's been my take, too, for a long time, Todd. I've recently begun to question also his research. A number of other researchers, especially sociologists, have taken issue with his methods. And the way he asks questions, the way he measures things, especially over decades. But, you know, especially when the latest research that you're talking about here matches other studies that have been done, this may be have more credibility than some of the other reports.
So the takeaway from Barna's research lately is his line that America is headed for a situation where it's 310 million people with 310 million religions. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, that was suggested a while back by Robert Bella and his co-writers in Habits of the Heart. It makes perfect sense. It used to be called cafeteria Catholicism. American Catholics were called cafeteria Catholics because, like all Democrats, people see their religion as democratic, too, and they pick and choose, as at a buffet, what they like and reject what they don't like, and fail to see that the Christian faith is a package. The faith once and for all delivered to the saints is not picked and chosen by the saints with every passing decade. So that is a problem, of course, in Protestantism, especially in regions of Protestantism where there is no confession of faith. On one hand, you have churches that don't really follow their confessions, don't preach, teach, and confess what they say they do. On the other hand, you have a lot of churches that don't have those confessions in the first place, and so you have to make it up every generation. But as we see, it can be done in any church, in any body, one with a pope, one without a pope, and one that's hierarchical, one that's egalitarian. We just really like to gather to ourselves teachers who will tell us whatever our itching ears want to hear.
One of the things, Barna, and this is obviously, at least from my perspective, I'm sure yours as well, kind of a simplistic approach to doctrinal beliefs, but he used the standard of the National Association of Evangelical Statement of Faith. And according to the press release, when he measured people by their beliefs in seven essential doctrines, only 7% of those surveyed qualified. Does that surprise you?
It actually does because I've been saying, I know you've been saying too over the years that, you know, the problem isn't so much that evangelicals don't nod their heads and give the right answers on the quiz. It's that doctrine just doesn't really play any significant role in the life of the church. But I think what we're seeing now is a generation coming up that really doesn't even get the formal answers right on the quiz, even the big ones. That's I think, not as much a rebellion as in Protestant liberalism, an explicit rebellion against the Christian faith. It's ignorance. It's just not being raised with a deep set of convictions about who God is, who we are, what the gospel is, what God has done to save us, and how we are united to Christ and live in the world. Those just are questions that people rarely ask, it seems, in churches anymore. It's more about the potluck and the next fun thing the youth group's going to do, and it's a social club.
More with Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn right after this. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes with Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn talking about some recent religious belief research published by George Barna in his book Future Cast. Mike, Barna also finds that religious beliefs are trending toward the highly individualistic. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and that was very clear in his report that there's a rise in people saying that Jesus is their personal Lord and Savior, and a decline in church attendance. But again, what's so weird about all this, Todd, is that Barna himself has argued very passionately for abandoning the local church, that we can get all of the resources that we need for climbing the spiritual ladder on the internet. So let's just be self-feeders and go get her done. And, you know, I don't know how Barna proposes to solve problems that he himself is contributing to.
Raises a bigger question, and that is, many evangelicals will read Barna's research over the years. His finding has been consistently, it also is in his latest book, Future Cast, as he says, the culture is reinventing itself every 3 to 5 years. Generally, his advice, taken to heart by many evangelicals, is that the church ought to follow suit.
Right, right. You know what? That's what's so alarming. He chastises the church for capitulating to secular culture, and yet advocates, at the core of his efforts, advocates the capitulation of the church to contemporary culture. So I just see a real contradiction there that I think lies at the heart of evangelicalism generally.
Does it account in your mind for something else he notes, and that is the growing number of, for lack of a better word, agnostics, kind of benign agnostics, and, as other research has shown, spiritually none of the aboves?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I came across a great blog piece yesterday, Todd, on the Huffington Post, of all places, where a mainline pastor, a woman, wrote, she says, "I'm tired of sitting on the airplane next to somebody who, once he finds out that I'm a minister, is eager to tell me that he's spiritual, not religious. How boring." She says, "I don't really care about your narcissistic, self-obsessed, spiritual but not religious thing. That's not exciting. That's not demanding. That doesn't frustrate you or comfort you. There's nothing there. There's nothing to it. It's vacuous and it's boring. Connect with a real God who has actually acted in history and will have something to talk about." It's interesting that you have there on the Huffington Post, hardly a house organ for confessional Christianity, that kind of a, hey, you know, we're tired of this shallow, I'm spiritual but not religious stuff, talking about finding God in sunsets and at the beach. And yet, you know, that is increasingly becoming a big part of evangelicalism. If people can say, look, I worship God at the golf course, I worship God in the things that I do throughout the week for other people, I don't need to come to church and be with all these other sinners and confess my sins, receive absolution, confess the faith, sing, pray, receive the Lord's Supper, participate in baptism, pray for Mary Smith's goiter. I don't have to do all of that stuff, that embodied stuff, with other bodies of the body of Christ. I can just avoid all of that. I can be spiritual but not religious. Evangelicalism is basically becoming that boring position that we used to encounter simply from dropouts from mainline Protestantism only 10 or 20 years ago.
What's becoming of the refugees of American evangelicalism? Barna notices it. All the other researchers are noticing it, that there are people, even mainline evangelicals are noticing it, that there are people who come in the revolving door one side, 3 to 5 years later, they're out the revolving door on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them are just becoming, quote-unquote, unchurched. Others are going to Rome and Eastern Orthodoxy. And I think that a lot of those folks are, frankly, fed up with a lot of Protestantism for the same reasons, Todd, that you and I would be. But they just sort of leap over the Reformation. And, again, you can't blame them because sometimes they go to some of our own churches and really don't find anything different. They're longing for a place they can trust, they can call home. They can, you've got this utopian vision that Rome or Orthodoxy will provide that. I think they find something different once they get in. But the basic question that very few people who drop out ask is, where can I find a merciful God? And their churches haven't really prepared them for that, because their churches, in their experience, at least many of the people I talk to, they have never encountered that question. At least if they've asked it personally, they've never really gotten good answers from the pulpit or from personal conversation, from catechesis. So it just pushes us back to the place where we have to ask, as ministers, as parishioners, as fellow saints, what are we doing in the home, in the church, to prepare people not only to have an answer for the hope that they have, but also to be convinced in their own hearts and minds that God is favorable to them in Christ and outside of Christ. And I'll add, outside of his visible body, the church, there is no salvation.
I wonder if you kind of hear the ticking of a time bomb here. That evangelicalism has marketed its churches for a long time as a place to go and experience community, relationships with other people. And I think we can say that the relationship with God is secondary to the relationships that they find in those churches. In fact, Rick Warren has famously and recently said that it is personal relationships that hold churches together. Do you hear the ticking of a future time bomb when it comes to that kind of way of building, quote-unquote, community rather than growing the church?
Sure. First of all, it's a kingdom we're building in that case, not a kingdom that we're receiving. It's totally horizontal rather than vertical, which means it's about us and our relationships with each other, not about God establishing a saving relationship with us in his Son. And sure, I can find all sorts of clubs that I could join, political parties I can link up with. I have all sorts of different affinity groups that I can be a part of to find relationships. I certainly don't need the church for relationships. The church actually frustrates me sometimes in relationships. I have to actually get to know people I would not have chosen as my brothers and sisters, but God chose them for me. They're my family, and as with all families, you know, we don't get to vote about this. These are the people that I grow up with because we're fellow sinners who are redeemed by Christ's blood. That is, I think, something that grates against our democratic sensibilities. And at the end of the day, you know, it's not even really about a relationship with God. Everyone has a relationship with God. The question is whether we have a relationship with God as judge or as merciful Father in Christ. And that emphasis is completely missing. I remember reading Stanley Grenz, a Baptist theologian, say that one of the big differences between Reformed, he was interacting with Reformed views at that point, Reformed views of why we go to church and our evangelical pietist heritage is that we believe, he says, that we go to church for fellowship. That's the main reason why we go to church, for fellowship with believers. We need that fellowship to keep us going. And marching orders, people to hold us accountable and to ask us, how's our walk with the Lord, and so forth. But he says, Reformed people believe that you go to church primarily to receive God's word and sacraments through formal things like preaching and baptism and the Lord's Supper. I think he's right. That's a big difference between the whole of Reformation Christianity and contemporary evangelicalism. And if you don't believe that you need the means of grace, if you believe that you only need a bunch of fellow believers to ask you how your personal, private, individual walk with the Lord is doing, well, you can do that on the phone or the internet or at a Christian concert. You don't really need to gather together as the covenant family of God in order to be judged and justified.
Dr. Mike Horton is professor of systematic theology and apologetics at Westminster Seminary in Escondido, California, co-host of the national radio talk show called The White Horse Inn, author of several books, including The Gospel-Driven Life and Christless Christianity. You'll find a link to The White Horse Inn at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mike, thanks again.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll visit with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell. Also tomorrow, we'll discuss the vocation of citizenship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith of Patrick Henry College will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.